Is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Le Maire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Well, it was a wild weekend in college football. I doubt if you could really walk away from the TV set this weekend and not just get shocked by the outcome of games that turned around late. But for the Wahoos, it was a tale of two halves. Virginia played, I thought, a strategically brilliant first half. Had to give credit to the defensive coordinator, John Tenuta. The defense did a great job. They got two turnovers, one on a fumble recovery, one on an interception. And generally speaking, they were doing a great job of bending and not breaking against really what is and has been this year a terrific Carolina offense. I mean, that, and still at the final outcome of the score, by only giving up 26 points, I would have thought if you had told me that before the game, I would have said Virginia won by a touchdown or so. Unfortunately, the Virginia offense proved to be a train wreck. They were able to drive the ball. They were able to run the ball. At times, they were able to draw a lot of pass interference penalties, but however, the red zone became just a chamber of horrors. And with that, let me welcome my co-host Jim Hobgood, who's in the studio.
Eventually, you are what you are, and we're 2-5. That's the bad news. Now you say the 26 points by holding Carolina to 26. Certainly, Virginia put themselves in a position where had they executed better on offense, they might have had a chance to win, but. You know, five turnovers when you're playing on the road against a good team makes it very, very difficult. Isn't that right, Dr. Call? Our in-studio guest tonight, former Wahoo himself.
Hey, you're not kidding. You turn that ball over on somebody else's turf, and you are history.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was very impressed with the energy level of the Virginia defense in the first half. And at times, very impressed with the UVA offensive line, which created holes. And, you know, let's tip our hat to Taquan Mizell. I'm going to go ahead and knock this out right now. He was their LeClaire Ryan play of the game player. He made so many terrific moves out in space and in between the tackles and everywhere they gave him the ball. I think he had 30 touches. 100 and some yards rushing, maybe 114, and then he had about 50 or 60 yards pass receiving, and he now leads the nation in reception yardage as a running back among all running backs in the nation.
Well, he has a great pair of hands, so that's one of his strengths. And of course, we talked before the season about trying to get Smoke out into space where he would have the opportunity to show his speed and his moves and so forth, but...
While we're doing that, we should tip our hat to Steve Fairchild, the offensive coordinator in Charlottesville. I would say of all the coaches at Virginia, he may be the comeback coach of the year, in my opinion. He's found ways to utilize new players like Thorpe and Hopkins. At the same time, he's found ways to maximize Smoke Mizell's abilities. In addition, he's had to deal with an offensive line that's had a lot of moving parts, again, for the fourth consecutive year, and obviously a new starting quarterback. So I'm going to tip my hat to Steve Fairchild, and if we had a weekly award, he would be the coach of the game for Virginia.
Yeah, well, you know, it takes a while for things to gel, like the offensive line, even the defensive backfield, and certainly the linebackers. And defensive line. So it takes a while for that stuff to gel before they can play as a team. But, you know, it seems like it's taken too long.
Has it gelled? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, certainly not enough. And well, as evidenced by the fact, at times during the game, Virginia was opening big holes. On other plays, it looked like no one blocked anybody for more than a second. And you know the reason Matt Johns threw the interceptions, folks, it's not because he had a nice, solid, comfortable pocket to go to drop back in and set his feet. He has happy feet because he's gotten clobbered enough where he's naturally jittery. And he's a bright guy. He's a former basketball player. And he's just trying to survive. He's hoping to get to the end of this season in one piece. And, you know, I can't really throw him under the bus. He's making some tough throws. Virginia, with 5 minutes to go in the game, still had an outside chance of stealing this game on the road at Carolina. And although we have to give more credit to the defense and Smoke Mizell than anyone else in this contest, you know, Johns was fighting. He picked the right receivers many times and threw to the right guys. The problem was when he made an error, unfortunately, it was pretty egregious.
Well, the frustration, and Bobby, you can address this as a former player. You know, other than Boise State, Virginia clearly has been in games. They have played well for parts of games, but they can't seem to put it all together. There always seems to be a turnover, a key penalty, execution issues, special teams, something that causes them to not come up with a victory. So how do you address that?
Yeah, you're right. It's tough. You know, you got to play consistently the whole game. And then usually if you do, the game comes down to four or five big plays, and you've got to make the big plays. You've got to have somebody step up and either make the reception or the interception or the tackle and get that ball into the end zone. You know, one of the big problems we've had is the red zone scoring. And, hey, if you can't accomplish that, you can't win.
By the way, the Virginia offense is now ranked 100th in the nation in terms of
– out of what, like 112?
No, out of points that they put on the board once they get in the red zone. Meaning they're very rarely getting touchdowns. That's how you move that up.
So, and you've got to get a sense of confidence when you're in the red zone or just playing at the end of the game. You know, and the more you lose, the harder it is to establish that confidence that you're going to win, that you just know you're going to win.
Particularly when you're an underdog. When you're an underdog, you got to take advantage of your opportunities.
This
and you got to get
doors,
seven and not
the
three.
The artificial heart, electric guitars,
more often
rockets to the moon.
I mean, it's interesting.
It's
Vegas
Land
obviously
of the doers.
Botched doing it, this it, last done. Game.
Doers built this country, the dams
the
and the
Virginia
railroads.
At Carolina game this past week. It
they built the Golden Gates and the Empire States. And all this doing takes energy.
Excuse me, 11 points being given by Carolina. But at game time, it was either 17 or 18
energy
points.
Got us here, and
it's
our job to make sure this.
What does that say about Virginia
doing
coming
doing
off
the
three overtime
do
win
to keep
against
us
Syracuse?
All doing what we do.
And quite honestly, I think the Virginia offense and defense and special teams played their hearts out in the first half. They really did to make it 13 all. And what happens at halftime? I've been wondering over the last 4 years what seems to happen at halftime. Virginia almost never plays a good third quarter, at least on the scoreboard. And the last time I looked, unfortunately, that's what counts. And Bobby,
you know, one of the things is if you'll watch, you know, the better teams play a faster brand of football, and you know, teams that aren't as good can keep up for a half, but then they just get worn out that second half.
Well, so many times it seems like the first possession of the second half is off, and Virginia got the second half kickoff and turned it over with a pass. Pass interception. Now Carolina only got three out of that, but still puts yourself in a bad position.
It set the tone.
Yeah, you got to come out with the right focus, and if you're not ready to play, bad things
happen.
On
that pass, I think Johns just overthrew Severin on that play.
No, Severin broke on the inside, I believe. Johns threw to the outside, like he threw to the other shoulder, and you know they're roommates and everything, and that's his number one receiver. He's got to know what the route was. So somebody blew the route, either the quarterback or the receiver. Only time will tell. Maybe if I get in the locker room after this next game at home against Georgia Tech, I can ask Kanane what happened. He's a very honest, upright guy, and he'll tell me. Kanane Severin is one of the best players in the conference. Unfortunately, Virginia doesn't get him the ball enough. He only gets the ball three, four, five times a game. He should touch the ball at least 8-9 times.
Well, that goes back to the frustration. It's not like we're totally without playmakers between Severin and Smoke and even Thorpe and some other guys. I mean, we got some guys that can make plays. you just I guess not making enough of them.
Well, and you got to have enough time to make the play from the QB standpoint. And if you're worried about getting sacked, it's difficult to complete your passes.
Well, it puts added stress.
Yeah.
The game is hard enough.
And if you're rushed and you're rushing your passes, bad things happen.
You know, today, Coach London had his traditional Monday 11 o'clock press conference, and there was questions asked, obviously, about Matt Johns, and he said anything different concerning his up-down and his accuracy. And Coach London, to paraphrase, he has to have awareness of the rush around him and be able to step up in the pocket. Stay with your reads. With Matt, he had one sack, which caused a fumble. But he needs to emphasize the fact that he must trust his teammates in the pocket. Trust your reads and make the throw. Well, I got news for you. If you'd have less than 3 seconds to throw in the college game and you're a first-year real-time starter, I don't know that he has time for his clock to even work. You know, if you get hit with 2 seconds left or somebody is slapping at your arm from behind, a quarterback doesn't have a chance there. Now,
then you got to set up a quicker passing scheme, right?
Yeah.
Quick, short.
You can only throw so many swing passes to Smoke Mizell.
That's right.
And they couldn't run the screen passes in this game because they ran so many of them the last couple of weeks. Carolina practiced all week, and so when Virginia finally tried to run the screen, it almost got intercepted. There was a lineman or a linebacker right out in the middle of the formation, for crying out loud. Anyway, not going to bash those guys anymore. I know the players are playing their best. They're playing hard. Heck, they were still in the game with 5 minutes to go, and that's a testament to the defense, fighting hard, sticking with it. Micah Kizer had a whale of a game. I saw him get cleaned by some offensive linemen, but he got up and he'd run down and he'd make tackles from behind, and that's the spirit you got to have.
Yeah, John Tenuta has done a good job because look who he lost through going to the pros early, and I mean he was decimated in that.
He lost Daquan Romero, who was an outstanding outside linebacker. He lost Henry Coley, his middle linebacker, who led the team in tackles. He lost his rush linebacker and Max Vallis, who unfortunately tried to go pro a year too soon, and it backfired on him.
He was terrific at blocking passes too. A pretty tall guy. Bobby, how do you think the secondary's playing?
Well, you got to have a good pass rush to help out the secondary. The secondary, it's tough, to stay in with the receivers these days are so good. It's hard to cover them for, 3-4 seconds. So, I think they're playing well, but you got to stick on your man. But if you got to cover them too long, it's impossible.
Is there an art back there to grabbing and holding guys? Because some guys seem to be better at it than others.
Now that's what they're teaching now is basically you try to knock the ball out of the player's hands. They're not looking back to intercept unless you're in the position to do that. But really, you cover them. And when the ball comes, you knock it out of their hands. And everybody's pushing. The offensive receiver, the defense is back, is holding. Offense is pushing. It's a battle out there.
Well, talking about battles, the referees are throwing the flags all over the place. There were, I think, 23 penalty flags thrown during the game that were accepted. There were a couple of flags that were thrown that were not accepted. In fact, on a number of occasions, Virginia would throw that little streak pattern down the sideline, just a go, and the Carolina defensive back is face guarding all over the Virginia receivers, whether it was Thorpe or Severin, they're all over them, and the Carolina fans are booing, but that was textbook flag territory. Now,
there's a lot of inconsistency in making that call too.
Yeah, the flags that killed me. It's when the offensive line has all those illegal procedures. That is inexcusable this late in the season. It's bad enough that it happened 2 or 3 games ago. But, Virginia is way into the season now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, and Virginia had 10 flags on Saturday.
And they come at an inopportune time, too, typically.
That kills you down in the red zone. We've been talking
Absolutely.
About the red zone.
Kill them at Pitt.
A 5-yard penalty in the red zone is a killer.
Might have cost them the Pitt game on that long run.
Now, is
by
that
Reed.
Related to the offensive line not having continuity and guys coming in and out, or is that not a big factor?
It's fundamentals. You know, you got to build on your fundamentals. If you want to win throughout the season, you cannot not have the fundamentals down.
And a blocking in the back penalty on that long play down the sideline late in the game. I can't remember if it was Severn or Thorpe caught a nice ball in front of the Virginia bench, or maybe it was even Smoke. Might have been Smoke running down the right sideline for huge yards. And Keon Johnson runs up from behind after the play is almost all the way out of bounds and shoved a Carolina player in the back. Well, it happened right in front of the referee. You know, I know Keon Johnson has been a terrific blocker this year, and really it's an unselfish thing to do for a wide receiver. But that is the kind of penalty that costs you games. At that point in time, Virginia was down 10 and driving. And you know what? That ball was at midfield on a big play. You can't put yourself back at the 30 when you're right at midfield. It's a killer.
Well, that's what we talk about in basketball, about score and clock situations. You got to be aware of the circumstances in a particular moment in the game, and you just can't do stupid things.
And when you're having a losing season, the calls always seem to go against you.
Well, there were a lot of flags called against Carolina. All right, we're going to head to our first break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have some more Q&A with Bobby Call with a little bit more emphasis on the Q as opposed to the editorial comments by one of the hosts. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.